morning. So I think Jennifer did a great job of describing the challenges of getting a clean data set together, and we're going to kind of go to the next step of some of the challenges that happen once you have a clean data set and you're trying to analyze it. So again, my name is Lizzie Cheroni, and we're going to take a closer look at chlamydia reinfection rates and talk about why denominators are important. So first, some background. Chlamydia is the most commonly reported disease in the United States. In 2008, there were 1.2 million reported cases and an estimated 2.8 million infections. Chlamydia reinfections, so a second or third or fourth infection, are also common. Studies estimate 10 to 30% of women test positive for chlamydia following a diagnosed and treated infection. This positive test might be a reinfection from a partner who wasn't treated, or it may be an infection from a new partner, or it may be due to treatment failure. Chlamydia infections are associated with adverse reproductive outcomes, including pelvic inflammatory disease leading to ectopic pregnancy and infertility, as well as chronic pelvic pain. Chlamydia reinfections are associated with an increased risk of adverse reproductive outcomes. Ascension of chlamydia into the upper genital tract is more common in women who are reinfected, which increases the risk of pelvic inflammatory disease. The majority of chlamydia infections are asymptomatic in both men and women, which is why, in part, there are so many more estimated infections than case reports. And similarly, the majority of reinfections are also asymptomatic. And because most infections are asymptomatic, the CDC recommends annual screening for all sexually active women under the age of 26 and screening of all women at high risk. And because chlamydia reinfections are also common and usually asymptomatic, CDC also recommends rescreening of patients approximately 3 months after their initial treatment. And if patients are not able to be screened at 3 months, rescreening should occur at the first opportunity in the year following infection and treatment. Monitoring chlamydia infections and reinfections is a usual part of disease surveillance and often the topic of special studies. Data are used to inform screening and rescreening guidelines, so it really helps make guidelines specific to who should be screened or rescreened. So should we screen all women, women with a specific risk profile, should we screen men, as well as when the screening should occur. So for example, with rescreening, should it be at 3 months after treatment, 6 months, just at the next visit? Data are also useful to inform and evaluate screening and prevention programs. So it can help us identify a high-risk population, so who's getting infected or reinfected, and then we can target those populations for screening and prevention programming. Reinfection data are also useful in monitoring patient and partner treatment failures. Trends in chlamydia infection and reinfections are often monitored by looking at case rates, and a rate being the number of cases identified divided by the population at risk over time. But there are a number of methodological challenges to interpreting these estimated rates. So part of the challenge is who's in the numerator, meaning who are identified as cases. So as I mentioned, chlamydia is usually asymptomatic. So therefore, the number of cases identified is driven by screening coverage as well as screening criteria. So the more screening or rescreening done, the more opportunity to identify asymptomatic cases, and therefore the more cases reported. And increases in screening coverage can increase case rates even when the true prevalence in the population has remained stable. And it's not just how much screening that's being done, but really who's being screened and why they're screened or rescreened. And changes in the population screened, for example, screening more low-risk women over time, affects the number of cases identified and the estimated rate. Additionally, changes in test technology affects the numerator. Using a more sensitive test can increase the number of cases identified, again, even if the true prevalence in the population has remained stable. Now, all of these issues here affect the estimation of both chlamydia infection and reinfection rates, but there are some additional challenges to interpreting reinfection rates. Although rescreening is recommended at 3 months after the initial diagnosis and treatment, the actual timing of the rescreen may vary. And the interpretation of the reinfection rate is difficult unless you know when the rescreening was done. Because the prevalence of reinfection at 3 months may be different than the prevalence of reinfection at 11 months. Additionally, in order for an infection to be classified as a reinfection, the person must first have a documented infection. And many women are infected with chlamydia but clear the infection, or the infection is treated unknowingly by use of an antibiotic for another infection, and misclassification as reinfections as the initial infection is possible. An additional challenge to interpreting reinfection rates is who's included in the denominator. So how is the population at risk defined? And there are a number of options, and the choice of denominator influences the interpretation of the estimated rate. And that's really the focus of the talk today. I'm just going to go through a brief example of how choice in denominator matters to the interpretation of trends in chlamydia reinfection. So to investigate this issue, we examined data from women aged 15 to 44 enrolled in Group Health Cooperative, which is a mixed model managed care system serving Washington State and Western Idaho. We abstracted data from electronic health plan records, including inpatient, ambulatory care, pharmacy, and utilization databases. Data on chlamydia testing and infections were abstracted on women enrolled in the plan between 1997 and 2007. Reinfection was defined as a positive chlamydia test at least 30 days after a previous infection documented during the study time period. And we calculated annual reinfection rates. And as I mentioned, our objective is to investigate how choice of denominator matters. So we'll calculate reinfection rates using two possible denominators. So first, here's the data on the number of chlamydia infections over the 10-year period. So there were 402 infections documented in 1997, so that's the first column, and the vertical axis is number of cases. And there were 528 cases reported in 2007, so that's the column on the far right. And it looks like documented infections increased over the last 4 years of the study period, from 2004 to 2007. But just looking at case counts doesn't account for any changes in population size, so maybe the population got much larger during that time period. And so adding a denominator helps. So here the denominator is number of person years each woman enrolled in Group Health Cooperative contributed each year. So the rate is per 100,000 person years. And you can see that the increase in cases wasn't explained by just an increasing population, as the rate also increased from 2004 to 2007. However, this doesn't account for any changes in screening done, just changes in the size of the population. So now let's look at the reinfection data. Over the 10-year period, the number of reinfections identified increased as well, starting with about 20 cases in 1997 and ending with about 90 cases in 2007. However, similar to the infection case data, we need to account for any changes in population size over the time period. So one population or denominator we could use is all women enrolled in Group Health Cooperative. So this is the same type of denominator we used in the infection rate calculation, person years contributed each year. If we use all women enrolled in Group Health Cooperative as the denominator, the reinfection rate increases from 22 cases per 100,000 person years in 1997 to 135 cases per 100,000 person years in 2007. However, this line has a problem. So some of the women in the denominator never had a first chlamydia infection diagnosed, so they weren't really at risk to be diagnosed with a reinfection. So we have an inflated denominator. So we have all the person years contributed by women who didn't have that first chlamydia infection. And this deceptively gives us a low rate and one that increases steadily over time because it doesn't account for the growing size of the at-risk population. So to account for this, we can restrict the denominator to just women who had a chlamydia infection diagnosed during the study period. And we get a trend line that looks like this. So here the white line is the reinfection rate among women in Group Health Cooperative with a previous chlamydia infection. And you can see that this line looks different than the green trend line. You can see now it decreases initially, then increases only slightly at the end of the study period. But more strikingly, the magnitude of the reinfection rate is much different with this denominator. So you can see the white text on the right vertical axis that this rate is per 1,000 person years compared to per 100,000 person years for the green trend line. So if we look at the year 2000, it looks like the rates are the same, but the white line is actually a magnitude of 100 higher. So 5,500 per 100,000 versus 57 per 100,000 person years. And that's because we've restricted our denominator to just women with a previous infection, so the population size is much smaller, so we've deflated our denominator. And it's likely that the policy and programmatic implications of a reinfection rate of 5,500 cases compared to less than 60 cases per 100,000 person years may be quite different. So you can see that just restricting the denominator really matters in this situation. So using a denominator restricted to women with a previous chlamydia infection helped better define our population at risk for reinfection. But there are some problems with this white line too. So first, we haven't accounted for the time between infections. If you remember, we defined a reinfection as a subsequent infection during the study time period. So the first infection also had to occur in the study period. So what that means is for the first couple of years on this graph, all of these reinfections had to be diagnosed a short time after the woman's first infection, so probably in the first 3 to 6 months or even a year. But by the last couple of years, there's likely a mix of time between infections. So some women are still diagnosed a short time after their first infection, 3 to 6 months or a year, but some could be diagnosed up to 10 years after their first infection. So this line is really confounded by time between diagnoses. And this restricted denominator still doesn't account for who was actually rescreened and why they were rescreened. So the healthcare-seeking behaviors of the women. What made women come back to be retested, and are they different than the women who didn't come back and get retested? Nor does it account for any changes in test technology that may have occurred. So there are some other options for choice of a denominator. So a third trend line that's not on this graph might be to use a denominator that only contained women with a previous infection who were retested. So since a woman really has to be retested in order to be diagnosed with a reinfection, this denominator might better describe really who's at risk for actually showing up in the numerator of our rate calculation. But we would still need to account for timing of reinfection or rediagnosis. So we might restrict the denominator to women who were retested at some uniform time after their first infection, so like 3 months. But in a sentinel surveillance database such as this one, it would be hard to know if the woman who met this criteria, so diagnosed with one infection and then rescreened 3 months later, are different than ones that didn't, meaning we still haven't accounted for the healthcare-seeking behaviors of the women themselves. So this denominator only works if all women are initially screened and then all women with a reinfection are rescreened. So in conclusion, denominators are important. Your choice needs to reflect who had a chance of being included in the numerator. You need to account for the size of the population, which is what our green line did, but also restrict to the population at risk, so women with a previous chlamydia infection, which is what our white line did, but also account for who was actually retested, the time of the retest, and the reason for the retest, which neither of our trend lines did. And since most databases aren't able to account for all of these issues, caution is needed when interpreting reinfection rates from sentinel surveillance. And with that, I'd just like to acknowledge and thank my co-authors and invite any questions. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you very much. We're grappling with the same issues in our own data set. And I was just curious, in the white line that you put together, were you looking at women who, did you link the efforts for the same woman over time and actually look at her reinfection rate, or was this an estimate where you took, the number of women that tested positive initially and the number of women that tested positive at recently?
So for the white line, the numerator is women who had at least two infections documented during the study time period. So for example, in 1998, the women who contributed to that numerator had an initial infection documented in either 1997 or 98, and then a reinfection documented in 1998. And then the denominator is the person years at risk contributed to it. Delia, do you want to add?
Well, I just wanted to say that we do have risk identifiers that do link all women individually, so individual level data.
Right. Yeah, so we're actually, so this is really not just the number of reinfections, but we actually know when the woman got the first infection and when she got the second infection. Yes?
How did you treat the women with more than two infections, if any?
So the question was, how did we treat women with more than one infection? And they are just counted as a second infection and a third infection. So we haven't really accounted for the multiple infections in this chart here.
So the basis for the study was the intense interest in reinfection rates and whether they're going up or not.
Right, so the question is kind of the basis for the study. And this study is this analysis here is part of a very large study, and you'll hear more about it later in this session when Delia speaks about it. This was just one part of it, was to look at chlamydia reinfection and see kind of what the trends are, since there's an interest in looking at reinfection as possibly explaining why some of our chlamydia infection rates are increasing. But when we actually started looking at the data, we realized that there really are a lot of challenges to how you actually interpret these rates. And we thought that this would be a really nice forum just to give us an opportunity to talk to a group of people and really just kind of highlight some of the things you really need to think about when you're looking at and interpreting these rates. But definitely this is part of a large study.
So are we going to hear conclusions a little later? Are they going up or not?
I think my opinion, based on the data we show here, we don't actually know what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's really, I mean, and I appreciate that, because that really kind of is the summary, is you can calculate these and you can look at them, but without knowing really who was rescreened and why they were rescreened, that's kind of the most important piece to me, is why are women coming back in and what type of visit it is.
I think another variable that might be important here is the adoption of testing technology. So those lines actually tracked. We weren't very early adopters of NAT, and so these lines, the upward curves, track somewhat closely with our very high proportion use of NAT as opposed to direct probes over just the most recent years. So that may be an explanatory variable, but as you said, we don't know.
Yeah, and I'll just repeat that, so in case anyone didn't hear. That we, as I said, we didn't account for any changes in testing technology, and there was a change in use of technology towards the end with adoption of NATs that may be explaining some of the increase. Yes?
Earlier in the presentation, I thought you defined reinfection as a chlamydia diagnosis within 30 days of the previous infection, and then later you defined it after 3 months.
No. So what we defined it, in the data set, we defined it as a chlamydia infection documented at least 30 days after the first infection. So that's kind of how we defined a reinfection. Here, I was just kind of giving an example of when we might want to think about a denominator is women who were rescreened at least 3 months afterwards, just as kind of a choice of denominator you might use. But the definition of a reinfection was at least 30 days after the first infection.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.